You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. Welcome to New York, Singham. Sorry. You watched Singham. Say welcome to Goa, Singham, like 100 times. But we watched a movie starring acclaimed actor, Gerard Depardieu.
Sure did.
And then we also watched the next installment in classic Japanese horror series, Ju-on, popularized in North America as The Grudge in the remakes, but stayed to be Ju-on in Japan. So, horror movie and a serious, this is even like a...
based on a true story?
Historical narrative, I guess.
Or it is actually...
historical fiction or historical narrative? Is it
no,
like...
No. This is...
is it straight history?
I'm actually... yeah, let's talk about it now. Welcome to New York, directed by Abel Ferreira, a noted director. Starring Gerard Depardieu, based entirely on the story of this guy named Strauss-Kahn. And the legal proceedings, New York versus Strauss-Kahn. And in fact, a lot of the dialogue was taken from actual police
like
recordings.
And stuff? Okay.
And actually, and like interviews with him and whatever. So a lot of this thing is 100% factual.
Cool.
There are huge sections of it which are not factual, and the movie has a gigantic disclaimer up at the start saying, like, you know, all of the private stuff is completely fictitious and made up for this movie, blah, blah, blah. It, like, tries to prevent itself. All the same, Mr. Strauss-Kahn has sued the pants off of the producers of this film.
Jesus.
Legal proceedings are ongoing. What is the story? Well, Mr. Strauss-Kahn is an or I should say the name of the character in the movie, not the guy who this is based on.
That's like Nucky Johnson versus Nucky Thompson.
So, Devereux, Mr. Devereux, is a extremely wealthy banker. He flies to New York to meet his daughter. While in New York staying at a hotel, he hires a huge number of prostitutes and has extremely lascivious sex with all of them. A cleaning lady comes into the hotel, the room that he's staying in, and then he sexually assaults the cleaning lady, and then he goes to leave the country because he doesn't think anything is going to happen from it. The police pick him up. He gets sued by the state of New York, and he gets acquitted of all charges.
Okay,
it's history. I'm not spoiling nothing.
Hey,
The film is grotesque in its blatant. Yeah, presentation of debauchery. The thing, though, is that, like, you can sex up debauchery so that it's fun. Like, in, I don't know, Snatch. I feel like there was fun debauchery in Snatch. Doing drugs and drinking a bunch and whatever. Go ahead.
Human traffic.
Human traffic. Good choice. In this, the debauchery is presented in the filthiest, most grotesque way so that it is the least sexy thing you can imagine. If you can imagine full frontal nudity involving Mr. Gerard Depardieu,
that is there.
That is something that happens, and it is like
there's another film that I'm thinking of. I just really can't draw the line of it. But it's just where you're like
sexy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like gross, realistic, non-pleasurable sex.
Yeah,
or non-pleasurable for the woman.
On top of that, all like the character portrayed by Mr. Depardieu is also gross and unsexy and like utterly self-interested. Doesn't give a shit about anything. Only wants pleasure for himself and fuck anything else that happens in the way. And it was so blatant in that portrayal of the character. I felt like this movie had to have been paid for by people attempting to destroy Mr. Strauss-Kahn because in his public image, because Strauss-Kahn got off free, as did Mr. Devereux in this film, there was all the charges were dropped because basically it was just a woman in a hotel room saying, "This guy did this to me," and him saying, "No, I did not."
And I have millions of dollars.
Yeah, and like apparently in the court case, it actually came out that she might have known him from before. She might have also have been a call girl at a time in her life. There's all this stuff. They destroyed her character so that she wouldn't whatever. And I don't know anything about what really happened, but ultimately he got off free. And I feel it was so blatant. Somebody paid this for this movie to be made to destroy his public.
So it's like some like filmmaking vigilantism.
A little bit, yeah. Now, it was hard to watch. It was dull in some points because it's just so slow.
Dry.
So dry with this guy having disgusting hooker sex.
Mm-hmm.
And being like a sweaty 300-pound naked man groping an 18-year-old call girl. Like, it's just so fucking gross.
Yep.
And it, like, forces you to go into that so that you can't have a split second of identifying with the protagonist.
Hmm.
So, like, would this have been, like, serious film if it hadn't been for, like, the blatant nudity and whatever? Probably, yeah. Because, like, this is, like there's, like, all the scenes that classically you use to identify with a character, even if he's a villain. Like, Devereux gets thrown in prison, and he gets thrown into a prison cell surrounded by all these, like, huge, scary, black, murderous-looking thugs who immediately start intimidating him. So even if you hate this guy, you develop a little sympathy for him in that scene. This movie expertly doesn't have you develop sympathy for him because he twists it around so that these guys are now buddies with him. Like, and in such a casual, jocular way, and it doesn't dwell on it. Like, it was very well done to make you hate this guy as much as possible.
Yeah, you're like,
so in that sense, like, it is a success.
So you're like, zero comeuppance, just watch me wallow in my assholeness.
But did I enjoy this whole experience? Not really.
Huh.
Like, I was a little entertained, but more on, like, the intellectual way. So I wouldn't really recommend this movie to anybody. It was a challenge, and it was really ugly. It was an ugly story full of ugly people doing ugly things to each other.
And then he gets off scot-free.
And then he gets off scot-free.
Like he does in reality.
Yep.
Which I guess is a spoiler.
So maybe that was the point, and if so, mission accomplished. But
kind of reminds me of the works of Gertrude Stein.
What?
Gertrude Stein wrote a book. And this is, fucking listeners are going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Gertrude Stein wrote a book that was incredibly mundane about a, like a servant girl doing her mundane thing to the point where there's like pages and pages which are identical to pages you've read before with just subtle changes. And
because that's her day being repetitive.
Yeah. And the goal was to make you, the reader, incredibly bored by this mundaneness to experience the mundaneness of the character.
Right.
And you're like, oh, that succeeded. Will I read that again? No.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, that was boring. It was on purpose boring. It was designed to bore me, and I guess in this film it was designed to just make you feel disgusted about this dude, and you're like, well, you did it, but that wasn't fun.
Yeah. Like, honestly, okay, maybe I take that back. I will recommend this to, like, people who are into film to see how expertly he like, is put into situations that would normally get you sympathy and then, like, destroy it. You know?
Just dismantles a guy's fucking...
And it, like, tears this guy apart, and I guess Gerard's performance is pretty excellent.
Hmm.
Although, I will say, like, huge sections of this are done in English, which Mr. Depardieu, I don't think, speaks very well.
Yeah.
And he's with his wife, who
he's
is also...
He's done English films before.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, he has a super thick accent, and he stumbles over his words. And he has a...
I would almost... go and say that he probably does it for the character.
Probably, then.
Because he's done some films in English where it's like, he has a thick accent, but doesn't stumble in other roles.
His co-star, his wife, anyway, in the story is Jacqueline Bisset. Her and him are both playing French people. Both of these characters are from France. And they argue between each other in, like, a very intimate argument, right? It's like the girl who her husband just got caught jerking off on like sexually assaulting somebody, and he's out on bail, you know, so they're fighting about it. It's like an intense scene.
Yeah.
And they're both like hanging out in English, talking with super thick French accents, not really communicating very well, and using like stuttering over it. Like it like ripped me out of that scene. Why the fuck aren't you guys just talking in French? You're French people. Like and it's an intimate moment, you know. But other than that, anyway, that was like one small small foible. Other than that, it is what I have already said.
All right.
I'm not going to repeat myself. But the it may be, as like a film buff, you could go see this for like an interesting character portrayal, but it's a tough movie.
Crazy. What's the runtime?
125.
Okay, so
over two hours. It's a commitment.
Ju-on. The beginning of the end.
Yep.
So you've seen Ju-on before, or somebody has.
Yeah, there's like a kid in a water tower or something.
Typically, here's the Ju-on film.
Yep.
There's a weird, creepy little kid that shows up.
Yep.
You die around him, and typically, the kid rarely ever does any of the killing, though he is very much the face of Ju-on. It's usually someone else who was killed around him that is the actual, like, full of the hatred.
Okay.
The whole idea behind Ju-on is it's like a supernatural grudge
where
people who died under particularly shitty circumstances can come back, and they're just become these, like, vengeful, shitty spirits. But however, the little kid, typically, in the Ju-on films... is not, I guess maybe because he's innocent or something, doesn't necessarily stop the goings-on, but is usually more of like a watching character. And there's usually another ghost. I don't know if that's considered a spoiler. There's fucking been five of these films.
If you're on the fifth one.
Yeah, exactly. So, Ju-on, the beginning of the end, I guess almost adds a couple things to the Ju-on mythos that I'll explain a little bit in the spoilers. So I think that's how they're kind of building it up to be the end, as to why it's
like
also...
like there's something theming a bunch of these together?
They're sort of theming them a bunch of them together, which has always never really been put together as to why the little kid often looks the same, even though it's different stories.
Okay.
They kind of start to piece that together. It does some very interesting things with the timeline, not necessarily the overall Ju-on timeline, which it does also kind of touch on, but also just the timing in the movie. There's stuff going on in essentially three timelines, and it actually comes together very well.
Wow. Which is, that sounds really good.
Which is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Also, every single scene, like, there's, like, a pause, and then there's a little Japanese character, and then the name of a character, and then there's kind of a little, like, vignette about that character.
Is just in the setup?
No. Throughout the movie. It's like, here's this character, here's a scene about them. They might have been in the movie before, but then there is, a vignette about them as the central character. And in every single one of those vignettes, there is a moment of tension, and it builds incredibly, each and every one, like 20 times. So you're probably listening to this being like, this sounds like the greatest Ju-on of all time.
You sure do.
Fucking timelines all over the place, fucking tying in the whole series, fucking incredible tension, and sadly, it's such a fucking bummer, because we hate to say it, because we generally don't really give a shit about budgets.
Yeah.
The kills, like the payoffs, are so poorly executed that it pulls you out of it each and every time.
Are you serious?
You are on the fucking edge of your seat for, like, again and again, which is, like, masterful. In my opinion, like, you watch a lot of these Japanese horror movies, and the build-up either takes too long, gets boring, or whatever. This is, like, from the beginning, every 5 to 10 minutes, it's building tension, payoff, which is terrible. Then again, building tension, happens, like, I said 20, but maybe legit 10. Like, it might do it, like, again and again.
Yeah.
In these, like, 7 to 8 minutes,
even 10 times in one movie,
it's incredible. Like, in terms of, like, and does it so well that you're like, that kill was fucking retarded. That was stupid. I'm laughing at the screen, but then manages to get me tense again the next time.
Right.
Like, I feel.
But and 9 more times.
And like 9 more times, and you're like, oh, that was fucking terrible. Like, that payoff was the worst. And you're like, oh shit. And then you're on your, and you're on the edge of your seat again. Like, it's this film. Holy shit, was frustrating. Like, so fucking frustrating, because I've never in my life seen a movie where, like, a lack of a budget hurt it so bad. I would go as far
as... We have watched some goddamn awful budgeted
As saying that if you just took the kills off camera, you'd kind of have a frustrating movie for a different reason, because you'd be like, I would like to see this, right?
Yeah.
But it would be better.
Wow.
To just remove,
can you,
like,
just describe in what manner the effects were bad? Like, because even bad CG, you can kind
of... Okay, I'll spoil, like, one thing where it's like the... And the, even all the kills also have these cool, this cool setup where they find, like, these, like, little kid drawings of how ultimately the people die. Like, in these weird, crazy crayon drawings, which is also kind of, like, weird and creepy. Yeah. And you're, and you also kind of have that in your head, so you, like, you're like, oh shit, this is setting up to be that one.
Yeah.
And, like, there's one where it's like this woman has, like, a red chest or whatever, and she's, like, heating up, and it's like the girl is in school, and she's, like, playing basketball, and she's like, oh fuck, she starts to get, like, cold and the shakes and the fever, and you're like, and then you hear, like, a train kind of passing, and she's, like, in the back room amongst, like, musical equipment or something in school, and then, like, running into the fucking nurse's office, which is, like, inexplicably empty, and, like, all these things are shot super well, and you're like, oh fuck, they're gonna fucking get her, and then you see, like, the body crawling up underneath under the sheets, and then poof, the sheets disappear and she disappeared, and you're like, huh, thanks for that,
that's it, she just disappeared.
Yep. You're like, cool story, bro. And, like, that is, like, just one of the many, many disappointments of Ju-on. They are all like that. You're like,
alright, so who do you recommend this to?
I recommend this to anybody who likes Ju-on.
Yeah.
And I would recommend this to anybody even who likes horror films.
Yeah.
Because the tension building is done fucking amazing. Like, I've rarely seen this in a Japanese
movie. It sounds so close.
And it, and like I said, and the time twist that we'll talk a little bit about in spoilers is fucking amazing too. Like, because you don't really know when stuff's happening, but it puts it together, and there's, like, a holy shit cool moment.
Yep.
Oh my god, Ju-on. Okay. I'm gonna spoil Ju-on.
Yeah, let's spoil
it. It's gonna happen.
These are the spoilers.
I feel there's nothing to really spoil about The King of New York or Welcome to New York.
Welcome to New York. There really is nothing to spoil
that about you haven't that anyway behind the story. He gets away with it.
Well, he gets away, but it's based on a true story, so I don't feel too bad saying any of that.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single thing that I've ever said.
Ju-on.
Yep.
We're back to Ju-on. Okay, so here's the thing. So there's okay. The storyline is basically there's these three girls.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's a house. This is all centered around a house where it turns out that 19 years ago, there was a kid who was basically tied up and left and locked in a room during a heat wave. He died, and then it's revealed later on that his mother also died.
Okay.
Then, about 10 years ago, three girls go into the house, and all three of them die. Mm-hmm. And now, present day, this little kid, who looks remarkably similar to the little kid who died 19 years ago, was attending school. Then his teacher went to go look for him, died, and now his new teacher is just like, why is this kid never in school? And then goes to investigate the house.
Okay, that's the setup for this film.
That's the setup for this thing. There's three distinct timelines.
The three little girls, and then the kid in 20 years ago, who looks a lot like the kid in the present day, who's being chased after by his replacement teacher.
Correct.
Yes.
So you're like, that's a lot going on, but it handles it super, super well. You never, ever can tell that the little girls and the present day is a different timeline until right towards at the end of the film where there's like a cut where one of them dies and then the teacher... No, one of them dies and then the parents from present day of the boy show up into the house and you're like, oh, fuck, that was not present.
Right.
And you're like, oh, shit, that's so fucking cool. So, and here's the big twist for the Ju-on thing.
Okay.
It turns out that Ju-on boy, little boy...
Yeah.
Can like impregnate women essentially.
What?
He just like walks into their like he's like mommy, and then like hugs them and then goes into them and then they. That's why it's been the same kid all the time. And that kid is hardcore cursed because if you give birth to that boy, you end up in a Ju-on scenario.
Wow.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So that's why it's always like the same little fucking boy, even though it's like or like a same looking boy.
That's a pretty intense setup. I kind
of
dig it.
It's super fucking cool. And you're like, so regardless of like whether or not, like, and in this case, the woman reveals to her husband that it's not her fucking child, and that's what drove him to the initial, or the second murder.
Right.
The first murder was he was tied up, whatever, and then the second time he gets murdered was his mom revealing to her husband.
Okay. And presumably there's going to be another film where somebody unravels what the whole curse is, why the little boy got to curse.
Yeah, exactly. So right. So like we don't even know at this point, based on all the previous Ju-on films, what the original one...
Okay. And what you said before was that he's kind of like an observer. So this guy has to watch his parents get murdered over and over and over and over.
Yeah, or one of them is his older sister or right. like whatever else like that. Like,
that's super cool.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know necessarily what the initial...
Right.
So we've never seen necessarily... That's why I think it's at the beginning of the end. We've never seen the initial terrible deed occur to this little boy.
Huh.
So it's always been a new terrible deed that's happened to him, and it's always cursed to have a terrible deed. Super fucking cool.
Yep.
In, like, grand Ju-on mythos world. Fucking the kills. Oh, my God.
It's
so bad.
So bad.
Fucking a girl gets, like, dragged into a refrigerator.
Okay.
And, like, you just see, like, the little kid hands, like, rrr, like, pull her into a fridge, and it's, like... looks fucking terrible. Girl gets her jaw fucking pulled off, and it's like the worst practical effect.
That sounds alright.
No, it's the worst practical effect in history. A guy gets his neck snapped, and then he's like walking around with his neck snapped, and it looks like a rubber mask on a guy walking forwards.
Oh my God.
Like, fuck, it's the worst. I feel so terrible. I'm hoping that somehow this movie is like a success in Japan.
Yeah.
At least enough.
They get the budget to redo
to get No, but not even to redo it, so that the actual denouement, if like... They handled it super well in terms of, like a fifth installment in a horror film is, like, usually tricky.
Yeah.
You know, like, you think about a lot of movies that hit five and they're, like...
Leprechaun 5, Down in the Hood.
Yeah, exactly. Leprechaun 5, I think, was in the hood. Fucking Freddy was no longer scary. Fucking Jason wasn't scary at that point. Like,
yeah, Chucky 5 was, like, The Bride 2 or something. It was
something
it was
weird. No, so I think Chucky 5 was actually all right. I think it's when they reboot, kind of, a soft reboot.
Oh, yeah. Chucky always was all right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless. Yeah. Fucking, they did a good job... everywhere except for the kills. It's such a fucking bummer.
So sad.
But yeah, super cool plot, super cool time trip. I would like, I know I already recommended it. I would actually recommend it to fans of the genre, because if you can get past that, there's a lot of fucking cool stuff going on in the movie.
Cool. What's coming up next?
9 to 5-sies.
Yeah, 9 to 5-sies.
Yeah. Hey Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're there. Tell your friends that this podcast is happening, and it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9to5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie, and we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself, for myself and Walter J. Ling, talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia has been so great so far, so yeah, I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.